Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, October 13th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, DFL officials want Ebola screening at the Twin Cities Airport. Some big names are coming to Minnesota to campaign. And Duluth Mayor Don Ness calls it quits after two terms. Governor Mark Dayton, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Senator Al Franken are urging the federal government to include the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport in the enhanced screening effort for Ebola. They sent a letter to federal officials today. If the additional Ebola screenings are implemented at MSP, travelers whose flights originated in Liberia, Guinea, or Sierra Leone would go through a series of steps when they arrive at the airport. They'd be required to fill out a health declaration form with the CDC stating where they're traveling from, where exactly they'll be staying in the state, and whether they had any contact with an Ebola patient. Medical professionals would also conduct an examination of each passenger and take their temperatures to determine whether they're exhibiting symptoms of the disease. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will be in Minnesota today raising money and campaigning for Republican gubernatorial candidate Jeff Johnson. And there's word Vice President Joe Biden will campaign later this month on the Iron Range for DFL Congressman Rick Nolan. Former President Bill Clinton was in town Friday to try to get Democrats excited about Governor Dayton and Senator Franken. Mark Zedeklik filed this story.
President Clinton took the stage at Northrop Auditorium to the wild roar from the crowd and a standing ovation. He was there to urge Minnesota Democrats to vote in the midterm election, which is now less than a month away. There were a lot of young people in the audience, and he told them they have a bigger stake in the outcome of the vote than any other group. Clinton said the country is coming back from the recession, that the Affordable Care Act is working, and that Democrats need to show up at the polls to prevent progress from being undone.
We cannot build a country with a coherent policy and a coherent future if we have two different Americas showing up, depending on whether there's a presidential election on the ballot. We cannot do that. You can change it. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Clinton said Senator Franken and Governor Dayton have done good work, and he described them as evidence-based politicians who should be reelected. The Franken campaign said almost 2,700 people filled the seats at Northrop Auditorium, a mix, they said, of students, special guests of the campaigns and DFL party, as well as people who got tickets online or stood in line this afternoon. 70-year-old Ann O'Toole, who lives in South Minneapolis, was there.
The Republicans are a disaster.
O'Toole said she thinks Minnesota Democrats are fired up and that this year they will buck the typical low DFL voter turnout in midterm elections.
Yeah, they are. They know what can happen in this off-year election.
O'Toole said she would have been delighted to see President Obama in Minnesota, despite polls that show low public approval of Obama's job performance. Minnesota Republican Party Chairman Keith Downey says Bill Clinton came to Minnesota because, despite the polls, Franken and Dayton are worried about their Election Day prospects. Downey also says it's Clinton working the stump for Minnesota Democrats, not Obama, because Obama is no longer popular in Minnesota.
I don't think even President Clinton can overshadow the fact that Al Franken voted 97% of the time with President Obama, and Mark Dayton was the earliest adopter of Obamacare here. I think it's a sign that they need some help. Obviously, they can't bring President Obama in given the popularity or lack thereof.
Across the country, Democratic candidates have been distancing themselves from the relatively unpopular president. Carleton College political scientist Stephen Scheer says even in a Democratic-leaning state such as Minnesota, Obama might do more harm than good for DFL candidates if he were to visit the state between now and Election Day.
He's under 40% in most polls in job approval in the state. It's not clear that his visit would be particularly valuable. The latest Jeff Johnson ad makes a point of using a picture of Mark Dayton and Barack Obama on the stump together. That would suggest Republicans certainly think he's not a big help to Democrats.
Although Republicans claim they have Franken and Dayton on the ropes, Public opinion polls have consistently shown both Democrats leading their GOP challengers. Washington University political science professor Stephen Smith says Franken and Dayton look to be on a path toward victory, and because of that, it is unlikely that there will be many more campaign visits of prominent Democrats like Bill Clinton between now and the midterm election.
This is when you'd expect to see someone like this. Clinton won't be spending his time in Minnesota, chances are, if the polls don't move, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So this is kind of, you know, the last chance for the Minnesota Democrats to get a big name into the state, because Clinton will be focusing on other states.
Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Governor Dayton has again won the backing of a major law enforcement group in his reelection bid. Matt Sepik reports.
The Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis, like many police groups, has historically endorsed Republicans. But Federation President John Delmonico says Dayton has always been a strong law enforcement advocate. Delmonico cites Dayton's support for local government aid, which has helped fund police departments across the state. Dayton says law enforcement concerns often factor into his policy decisions, including his 2012 veto of an aerial fireworks bill.
I listen carefully when law enforcement says that something is going to have a harmful effect on public safety, and also jeopardizes their lives as they're doing their jobs.
The Federation also backed Dayton when he first ran 4 years ago. Previously, it endorsed Republican Tim Pawlenty. Dayton is facing challenges this year from Hannah Nicolet of the Independence Party and Republican Jeff Johnson. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Duluth Mayor Don Ness announced over the weekend that he will not run for a third term. Ness made the announcement in a Facebook post. He says he was losing patience with politics and wanted to spend more time with his three children.
You know, in the end, we felt it was best both for our family as well as, I think, for the community as well, if we allow somebody else to come in and bring fresh perspective and fresh energy and hopefully continue this success story in Duluth.
Ness was first elected in 2007 after serving on the Duluth City Council. He ran unopposed for mayor in 2011. His term runs through January 2016. Some Minnesota counties are much more vulnerable than others to health problems associated with climate change. That's the conclusion of the first ever county-by-county Minnesota Climate Change Vulnerability Assessment. The State Health Department report released today looks at which counties are most vulnerable to extreme heat, flash flooding, and bad air quality. Lorna Benson has more.
In a nutshell, the state has gotten warmer and wetter, and that has implications for human health. Assistant State Climatologist Pete Boulay pulled together some of the historic climate data included in the report. Since 1895, Boulay says annual precipitation has increased nearly 3 inches in Minnesota. Temperatures are on the upswing, too, especially overnight lows. Overnight minimum temperatures have warmed more than 2.5 degrees in the summer and nearly 5.5 degrees in the winter. Boulay says that can disrupt freeze-thaw cycles, allowing frost to sink deeper in the winter, and it can make it harder to cool off on air-conditioned buildings in the summer.
Even this year, 2014, this summer, we had cooler than normal maximum temperatures this summer, but we had such warm overnight minimum temperatures in the Twin Cities we wound up being above normal.
Minnesota's climate trends increase the risk of extreme weather. High heat and flooding are the obvious dangers, but Minnesota's changing climate has also helped expand habitat for disease-carrying mosquitoes and ticks, and extended the pollen season for some allergy-inducing plants. Minnesota Climate and Health Program Director Kristen Robb helped draft the report. Mindful of the lingering debate over climate change, Robb is quick to point out that the health department's assessment relies on historic climate data and makes no projections about future trends.
I don't think it's really a question of whether you believe in climate change or not. It's just these are things that are happening in Minnesota, and here's the data, and we'd like you to start thinking about these issues.
To get a sense of which Minnesotans are most susceptible to the dangers of extreme weather, the report calculated vulnerability scores for each county, based on the percentage of residents who fall into vulnerable categories. For instance, the department looked at the number of older adults, children under 5, people of color, and people living at or below poverty. For extreme heat, they also looked at the number of people who worked outside. With flash flooding, Robb says county scores also included access to transportation and housing data.
Mobile homes, for example, are more vulnerable to flooding. And people that don't have an access to car may get trapped, or they may not be able to leave.
The health department's crude scoring method has several limitations, so the agency is urging planners to avoid making county comparisons. The document is really a tool written primarily for local health and emergency planners to help them prepare for the state's changing climate. There are many gaps in the data, and it will be up to counties to fill in those gaps.
It's really important to take the data and look at it and not just go with intuition.
Zach Hansen is Environmental Health Director for St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health. His department has already begun more detailed population mapping for Ramsey County. At the start of the project, Hansen says there was a sense that most residents living in poverty were centered in St. Paul's urban core.
When in fact, our data showed that they're scattered throughout the county, as were people who had limited English proficiency. And so it gives an entirely different picture.
The new data show Hansen that he may need to take a broader planning approach to protect the health of county residents during extreme weather. He says that knowledge has been helpful, but it has made his job more complicated.
I mean, we can do the data. We have to figure out what we're going to do with it. That's one of the challenges.
The health department wants to know what it can do to make its climate vulnerability assessment more accurate and more useful for counties. Agency staff will seek feedback from planners in different regions of the state this fall. Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.